I want to share with you something that I feel the Lord has put in my heart. We're going to just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, as we just open your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, O God, and highlight to us how we can, Lord, establish your rule and your power, your authority, and your love, O God, on earth, Lord God, through our lives. Father, we thank you. Lord, teach us, O God, about spiritual principles, Lord, so that, Lord, we'll be effective for you on earth, Lord. We will, Lord, fulfill every mission that you've commissioned us with. So, Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, while we pray, I think youth just went. That's fine. Turn to Genesis 12. I want to share with you about some of the concepts of the altars and altars of the patriarchs. Okay. So we've been, if you were here, you follow, you know, from the conference that we've just had with Pastor Subi from Africa, and then he's been sharing about prayer life in terms of, you know, altars that we set up. And I also shared last week from Psalm 16 about, you know, the righteous altars and also how that functions and works in our lives. Now, I want to actually go to Genesis and go through some of the altars that are in the book of Genesis as the patriarchs have put on that land, and also draw some parallel to our lives, because we are called not to be intimidated in this land. Amen? Bible does say that the Satan is the prince of the air, but the land and the earth and the people and all that belongs to the Lord. And he has put whole resources, the earth, in charge of who? Who is to be in charge? Us, through Christ. God had given that authority to Adam and Eve to take charge, to subdue and to multiply and to rule on behalf of Christ. Now that right, that authority had been, so to speak, given away to Satan through sin, but God is redeeming it. When you look at Genesis, you know, as Adam and Eve fell, what happens? The sin spreads. As sin spreads, what spreads? Chaos spreads. Curse begins to take hold in its ground. But God has a plan to reverse the curse, to fight curse with what? Blessing. And that plan starts with Abraham. Abraham. Now, just before, and you know, the flood, there was so much violence. All the created order, when you sow seed on the ground, it grows. That's the created order. It is to multiply and to be blessed. That's the natural scheme of the things in this world, is that when you live in this earth, we multiply, we become fruitful. Whatever you sow on the ground, the law of agriculture is to multiply, not just addition. Multiply everything in your life. You know, we grow. Our cells divide, multiply. Everything grows. That's the natural way of life, as God had made this world to function and our life to function. But something called corruption, that is called sin, is in the DNA, and it begin to spoil everything that God multiplies. So then curse begins to spread. But God has a plan, and God's plan is to reverse the curse with blessing. Amen. Amen. That starts with Abraham. Now, when God called Abraham from Ur of Chaldee, let's look at, how do I turn this on? Ur of Chaldee, somehow this is disconnected. God calls Abraham from Ur of Chaldee. Abraham travels and God gives him a promise. And it is found in Genesis 12. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" That's a lot of faith. "That I will show you." He didn't even know where he was going. He just went. "The land that I will show you." Now, that's Abraham's journey. Abraham actually comes from way back. Okay, can you see the red dot? Way there. Can you see that? Off the chart. So he moves up, 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 right? To Syria, Haran, and then goes down. Let's keep on reading. He says, I will make you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you, and will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. What was God saying when God called Abraham out? He said, I will make you a blessing. I will make you a great nation. I will start, you know, a nation of blessing. And I will make your name great. He's promising a great name, great blessing. But not only that, that you will be so blessed. In fact, you will be like a tower of blessing. That anyone trying to curse you, it will bounce back. In fact, you will be like a mirror of God's blessing, that anyone blesses you will get much bigger blessing back. In fact, God's plan is that Abraham will become a source of blessing, that all the family, say all the family of the earth, to be blessed through this man. Isn't that great? It's so big. It's bigger than you can imagine. All the family of the earth, so much curse have worked devastation on earth, but God's plan is one man. God's plan is always men and women to reverse all that. It was a small start, but God's gonna achieve his purpose. So God called him to be a blessing, not only to be blessed, but actually be the source of blessing. Also be a teaching of the blessing, principles of blessing. That is, love it. That all the families of the earth will learn if they bless you, they get blessed. If they curse you, they get cursed. Teaching about blessing and curse. Everybody will know blessing and curse is a real spiritual force and power. So Abraham leaves, and then he journeys, and he journeys and journeys, and he comes to a place called Padan Aram, or around, you know, Syria, somewhere in north. And there, we know from Book of Acts that his father dies. He got stuck there. But after his father dies, he moves on. But he takes Lot with him and then moves down to the promised land. And then I want to talk about altars there, how altars played in Abraham's life and the patriarch's life. I feel the Lord is giving me some insights to share with you. Because altars played a central role in Abraham's life, all the patriarch's life. You will see that in the book of Genesis, with the exception of Noah, patriarchs, only patriarchs built altars wherever they went. They built altars. That's what they left behind. Altars, landmarks of their relationship with God. That's what they left behind. Do you build altars wherever you go? Yeah? There is a saying that, you know, certain race, they go everywhere, they always build restaurants. Certain race go everywhere, they build churches. Wherever there are two or three, certain race goes everywhere, like, you know, when there are, this is just a joke. I love Israel and Jewish people, but a joke is when there are two Jews, you need three synagogues. One for each person and the other one that, you know, they refuse to go to. But, just a joke. All right. But, the patriarchs, they built altars. They built altars. This must be our trail as well. When we move through the earth, we build altars as we go. And I'll tell you what they are. These are powerful spiritual landmarks that mark their spiritual journeys at each point. And there's a lessons in connection with the altars. And what kind of situation they built these altars, and what kind of, you know, spiritual fight they had before they built these altars before God, that became a source of great blessing for the future generations. You will see that every place they built altar, these places, I'll go through. In fact, you can do some study. Most, probably about 85-90% of the exploits and the important histories of Israel concentrate in these areas. where patriarchs put their marker and the altar, that's where there is open heaven. Amen. And significant events in the future generations happen there. Yes. It was also a direct link when they built the altars. It was direct spiritual link to their promises that God had given them. Now, Noah built an altar. That's kind of, I think, the first altar that we've seen. There was an altar of what? Salvation. The whole generation perished under the flood. But as he came out, he built an altar and gave thanksgiving offering. All the clean birds, clean animals. And God speaks from that altar, from that sacrifice. God speaks, and God speaks a tremendous blessing. He says, I will never wipe the entire world out again because I love you. That's just the protection. And God put a visible sign of rainbow. You know, when we come to Christ, I believe that is the same kind of a promise that God gives us. That altar is the altar of salvation. They were just saved, and they come into the brand new life, brand new earth. Can you imagine, though? Noah opened the ark. The whole world is new. Because before that, the whole world was corrupted with violence, blood everywhere. And you open the door, whole thing is brand new. It's now up to Noah how to start a family, how to start new human race. But what does he do? First, he builds an altar and cry out to God. It was a thanksgiving offering. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And God speaks with thanksgiving. God speaks and I say, my love will never depart from you. I will not punish you to the point of destruction again. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when we are in Christ, you come to Christ. This is the first altar you need, right? Your salvation. And constantly thanking God for our salvation. Do you thank God for salvation? Yes. After 20 years of salvation, still thank God for the salvation and a relationship that we have of God, with God. And there is a promise, God says, even if we go wrong, even if at times we are rebellious and so on, God is saying, I am not after destruction. I do not seek your destruction. I seek your salvation. But we will be disciplined. His children, God will discipline us. But he does not seek destruction of our lives. Never. It's the love relationship that we have with God, the covenant that we have with God. Hallelujah. He's for us. Amen. God is for you. And not against you. When I fall, that's when the Lord comes to pick me up, to strengthen me, get the problem and trouble away from me. Hallelujah. And to restore that relationship. Now, and then when you compare Abraham and Lot, Lot is not a patriarch. He was kind of a patriarchal time person associated with Abraham. But he wasn't a patriarch. Lot never built an altar. He traveled through the land, but he never had an altar, family altar. I'll talk about that later. That was a great difference. And in fact, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says that Lot's soul was vexed. He was talking about he was a righteous man. In other words, he was a man who knew God. He was, so to speak, saved. But he was vexed with all the sins that were around him. This man knew God, but he couldn't get away from Sodom. His life couldn't break free from the sinful influences of Sodom and around him. So he would live there. He would go there and live in Sodom. And his soul gets vexed, tormented, and troubled. The Christians who live and compromises with sin and sinful lifestyle is the most tormented, vexed person. But Abraham was different, right? Abraham was not problem-free, but his center was God, relationship with God. And that's the difference. Amen? And, you know, Abraham's family had a spiritual anchor. There was an anchor in his life. whenever he went off, he could come back to something, the place that he worshiped God before, the altar that he had, that he built before God. You could come back to it. Now, what do I mean by altar? Altar, obviously, is a place of worship, place of sacrifice. That's what it was. For us, it's a same thing, but I guess less physically, but also physically, you could have an altar. For example, you need physical space. We are living in a physical being. Church is built, dedicated for the sole purpose of offering sacrifices of praise and worship and his voice and prayer. So you could say this is our gathering. This is an altar. If we understand it properly, we come together not just to sit and then attend a service. You come here to bring sacrifices of your heart, worship. You want to offer God something. Is that right? When we worship, you say, you know, okay, singers, tickle my ears and help me to enjoy God. Now, that's a service. You attend a service of someone performing beautifully. When you come before God as an altar, you are bringing your heart of sacrifice and you want to offer God your praise, the fruit of your lips. Even when you don't feel like getting up in the morning, you get up early. You come with a heart, Lord, I want to bless you. I want to gather together. I want to experience your presence. I want to offer you something out of my heart. I want to bless God as I come. I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak. That is an altar. There is a totally different attitude. Today, we, you know, feel the church is like a service. You have just fill the time and go. No, no, you bring something of your heart. Bring something of your life and offer God. That's an altar. It's an altar, is a place of a connection with God. Really, it's in the heart, but also you can actually, you know, space, your house can be dedicated to God. Amen? Altar is a place of connection with God. I've, you know, shared last week, when I set up 100-day special purposed prayer, that was my altar. My altar was my desk. Every day, 10 o'clock at night, I'll come and then bring same prayer before God. That was an altar. 10 o'clock, you know, I just watch, begin to 9, you know, quarter past 9 and go, okay, it's my time very soon. See, and then I sit on my desk and pray. That desk is an altar before the Lord. There's a common phrase associated with the altar in Genesis. You know what it is? He called on the name of the Lord. That's an altar. It's in your heart, but you can also set up a physical place. Church is designated place. Your home, your room, even one of your rooms or your, you know, corner, your desk, you can dedicate it to God and say, Lord, this is a place I want to meet with you on a regular basis. That becomes your personal altar, your home altar. That's why we also do home cleansing, right? You cleanse all the altars. I mean, sorry, cleanse all the idols, you know, objects that are dedicated for unclean things. You get rid of them. So you call on the name of the Lord. See, to me, altar in the heart at the very core is a consistent devotional prayer life. Devotional life and prayer life that you have, that you set up, and that becomes an anchor. That's a go-to place within to meet with God regularly. See, I mean, regularity is very, very important. When you just turn up and you, there are times when people cry out to God when they're in trouble, but that's lost very quickly. Unless that place turns into an altar as an anchor that you begin to consistently cry out to God. And not only cry out to God out of trouble, but on your journey with God to take you further into God's plan and purposes. That's an altar. And Jesus said something very interesting. I want you to think about it. When, you know, in the time of Jesus, they made altar and sacrifice. They're saying that if you trying to give God something, if it is in the altar and you swear it, you have to give it. But look, if it wasn't put on the altar, you can take it back. And Jesus said, fools, blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies it? Jesus saying the altar is the one that sanctifies the gift. Amen. Altar is greater. This is your relationship with God, this history of, with God, your motivation in God. This is your inner sanctum and the sanctuary of beholding with God and connection with God. Out of that, you bring gift. It's sanctified from the altar. So what kind of altar do we have inside? Every time Israel's altar was broken down, they were in trouble. They were in spiritual decline. When their altar was in good order, and the glory of God was on the altar, everything in the national life went well. Our spiritual connection and the order, what kind of state is our personal altar is before the Lord? Is it getting neglected because we are too busy? And the altar is only a place of crying out to God when we are in trouble, sending SOS message. That's not an altar. That's called do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's a police station. You call out in the time of trouble. But altar is different. It's far greater. It's a place that you consistently meet with God. Consistently meet with God. Personally, with family, and with other believers in the church. And that space must be in good order because God speaks through the altar. Voice of God comes out of the altar, from heaven, but through the altar. Altar is what stands between heaven and earth. And that's what creates open heaven. We'll see more of that as we study. So are you happy with the basic definition of altar? It's a very basic, crude definition. It's a lot more and how it plays in the life of patriarchs and the subsequent generations, even now in Israel. It's a place of contention, spiritual contention. These are the places that enemy fights the most. This is your altar. Every time you're trying to, Lord, seek God, phone rings. And suddenly feel hungry. You open the fridge, you eat too much, and then you're too tired, so you can't really connect. I've done that. I'm talking to you out of my experience. Phone rings, or your mind wanders, and you're checking email, you go, oh, all these things. No. You gotta shut that down so that you can actually spend quality time, consistent time, and you build. Altar is a place you build presence of God. Build the presence of God as an anchor. You know, we are called, this church, before we started, it was called the house of prayer. This place shall be a house of prayer where people from all nations come and pray and meet with God. It's a house of prayer. But I've also realized that if personal altars are not there and your personal life is run with trouble all the time, it's very difficult to build a corporate altar. So we need strengthening in all these areas. I'm keep repeating, personal altar. I want to say family altar. Family altar and the church altar. May God empower us to build God a places where God inhabits. Because space is very, very real, the space. When God builds a church, God wants the church to take authority, stronger word would be dominion, over the region that we worship God in. Amen? God wants enemy, all the works of demons to flee from where he resides. Hallelujah. It's a place where God will manifest his presence and meet with us, where we suddenly hear God. You know, God's spirit can be actually poured out in a space, physical space, and the number one choice is our body, physical body, our spirit. We are God's altars. Everywhere we go, we carry the presence of God. But God also has we are the conduits between heaven and earth, our physical bodies. Right? So we got to take care of our physical body as well. But God said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, does that mean that I'm on my own, his presence is not there? No. There is something more that comes on you. when God's people gather together. Something more than when you build your own personal altar. When we come together, there is a higher dynamic and power that comes on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just move on. Yeah, okay. Genesis 12, 6 and 7. I want to come to the first altar that Abraham builds. So Abraham takes his wife, takes Lot, and then goes to, first altar. And then he goes right through, goes down, and he goes to a place called Shechem. Okay, let's read together, verse 6. Well, okay, let's read verse 5 and 6. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. That's the first altar, in a place called Shechem. Shechem. Remember, we just read, Abraham was told by God, God said, "I'm going to send you, go to a place where I will show you." So Abraham doesn't really know where he's going, except maybe he's just following his hunch. He doesn't really know where. He said, "I will show you. That's the land. I'm going to give it to you." Abraham comes with this great vision of inheriting great land, becoming a great nation, becoming a blessing to the nations, but he doesn't know the land God was going to give him until now. He just comes to a place called Shechem, which means shoulder, shoulder. And then God appears and says, "This is it. This is the land, that the very land your feet, that's the land I'm giving you. This is it." God says, "This is it." Bingo, connection, revelation, this is it. This kind of a shoulder area, right? Actually, even geographically, when you look at it, it almost looks like he's just coming to the first connection in the Shechem, right? This is a promised land, just like a shoulder. He just comes to the first connection. When you come down from north, it's the first point of entry around that area, in the heart of the area of the promised land, kind of a shoulder, and God says, "This is it, Shechem. There, this is the land I'm giving you." And what does Abraham do? He builds an altar. He builds an altar. God's promise has become specific in terms of land, and Abraham responds by building an altar. What's he doing there? He's calling on the name of God, and what else is he doing? He is claiming that this land is God's land. He's claiming that this is it. This is the place that God's gonna give me. I'm claiming, I'm putting my, you know, when you, I used to play, you put your saliva, "This is mine. No one else can touch this and eat this thing. It's mine." Abraham is, "This land, that's mine. No one else can touch it. God had given it to me." When you receive promises of God, what are you doing? You gotta put your saliva there. "This is mine. This is mine. This is what God revealed. This is God's land, and he gave it to me." He's claiming an ownership of the land by calling upon the name of the Lord. "Lord, this is your, you created it, and you gave it to me. And I call on your name. Let heaven remember, earth remember. This land belongs to me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Moreh means stretching or archer. So you stretch your shoulder a little bit. When you first receive God's promise, what are you going to do? Stretch your arm, stretch your shoulder, archer, you shoot first arrow into it. That's mine. Altar, prayer. Call on the name of the Lord. When we receive God's promises, prophetic promises, we've got to build an altar there. That should be our response. Call upon the name of the Lord. This is the promise you've given me. I receive it. I claim it. In the name of Jesus, you call on the name of God. You put God into remembrance. You remember it. Yes, this is mine. You act like one. You believe one. You receive it. Promises of God that you have. You know, I receive so many promises. Some have come to pass, but only a tiny bit. And when we pray, put on altar, call upon the name of God. When we pray, altars are like converters. You convert God's promises into reality through the altar. You claim this land as yours. When you receive, when God speaks to you something, we gotta put God into remembrance. We gotta pray it into reality. Amen? Don't just sit there and go, yeah, it'll happen one day. I've received some promises. I've received some. And then some have come to pass. But a whole lot more hasn't come to pass. And I'm, you know, being fired up. God, I'm going to shoot an arrow. That's mine. Lord, this is your promise. I put you in remembrance. I receive it. Okay. Make that a contact point of your communion with God. Lord, what you've said, I believe. And then turn it into your prayer language. Turn it into your prayer languages. So many promises hangs over this land, hangs over our life. But we've got to convert them by calling out upon the name of the Lord in prayer. This becomes such an important place of God's ownership. You know, when Israel was about to go into the promised land, this is the place, Shechem. Moses said, when you go into the promised land, you go up to the mountain and pronounce blessing and curse. Do you remember that? They were pronouncing a blessing and a curse over this place because that was the first entry point and the place where Abraham built an altar, put the first claim on the land. So when you go in there, you go there first, Israelites, and put a blessing and curse, covenantal contract, so to speak, the conditions of blessing and curse over the land, and it would be powerfully operating, and it was. When Israel was doing well, working according, you know, walking according to the will of God, they were blessed. But when they weren't, all the words they pronounced in their place came to pass, and eventually they were kicked out of the land. And thank God, God brought them back again. You know, altar is very important. Again, are you converting all your promises? How many promises are in the Bible? Convert. How many thousands? 11,000. 7,000. Okay, oh wow, that's a lot of promises to convert. You have a good converter. Yeah. Hallelujah. Where was the altar in heaven? Where is the altar in heaven? When we look at heaven, this is just a little snapshot of where the altar is in heaven, before the throne of God. Revelation 8 talks about when he opened Revelation 8, I'll just read you something here. He opened the seventh seal. There was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. I saw about half an hour is the time it took for high priest to offer the incense offering, burnt incense offering. It's a time of prayer that they went in there for intercession. I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets and so on. And then another angel having golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with a prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Where is the altar? Before the throne of God. So you want the throne of God's authority and power resting upon the earth. What do we need? Altar. golden altar. What is the incense? It's a prayer of the saints. Intercession. Prayer and worship that we offer before God is the incense. And it goes up through the altar. Altar is the quality of our walk and connection with God. Okay, that the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascend before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightning, and earthquakes. What's happening? God begins to, what's this lightning and earthquakes and all these things? God, Jesus is claiming the earth for himself. That's what's happening. Jesus is claiming, taking actual possession of the land that human beings and the devil have abused. With lightning and thunder, and he begins to move and begins to come and take possession of it. Prayers out of the altar. Jesus said, I will build my church. Church at the core of the church, the altar. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God wants to take ownership of certain places of lands and gathering of his people before he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. Before Jesus, Sydney doesn't have to be, or your home, we Christians, or whoever, we don't have to be in devastation or horror and, you know, terrible place. It can be an actual heaven on earth. It's where there is a presence of God. There will be a protection and blessing and provision. Amen. Amen. You believe that? Amen. We believe Australia's, you know, the light will grow even brighter. Amen. Darkness will be great, but the light will be brighter in his house. Amen. Where there is the presence of God. This is a, you know, arise and shine. For the glory of God has risen on you. This is the very glory of God that comes where there is altar of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Psalm 51, I mean, I'm just going a bit off track. But God says in Psalm 51, gather to me all those who have made covenant by sacrifice. God is gathering. It's an end time psalm. God the Father is rising. And he's separating his people from sheep to goat. It's not in the note, but God is saying, gather to me those who will make sacrifice, those who will build an altar of worship and prayer and sacrifice, who will make that covenantal relationship to walk before me. Hallelujah. You know, this is actually, Abraham wasn't shown the, you know, the pattern of the tabernacle, but you can see what happens in heaven. In the tabernacle, do you know the tabernacle in the wilderness? God called Moses to build a tabernacle, remember? And when Moses built the tabernacle according to the pattern of heaven, you go in from outside, there is a bronze altar, and then you go in through the bronze altar, you could come in. That's the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. You will come in. And then you go into holy place. You go in there. And there is a showbread and there is lampstand. And there is just one more thing. Just behind the veil. What's in there? It's the golden altar of incense. You take that and you move in behind the veil to a place called Holy of Holies. And there was the Ark of God. You know what is the Ark of God? It's the throne. Throne of God. That's where God sits in between the cherubim to meet with us and to speak with us. What do you take with you? Incense. Altar of incense. Now, golden altar of incense was placed just outside of the veil. But what's the, in heaven, where is it? It's right before the throne. The golden, are you following me? Yes. I'm going a bit off trail, but this altar of incense was never meant to function outside it was actually meant for inside. Because if priests will go in without the altar of incense covering him, what happens to him? He gets struck dead. The incense was actually for the Holy of Holies. But priest has to come in from outside to go into the presence of God, immediate presence of God. He needed incense. Golden altar of incense. Without it, you cannot come into the presence of God. That's actually for the throne of God. That's what parted the veil for you safely. That's an altar, golden altar. That's an altar God is setting up on earth. That's the altar that Abraham was setting on earth, saying, God, this is the land you want me to have for you. I claim it, and he puts an altar saying, ah, kashakaka, this is mine. Thank you, Jesus. Mine and my descendants forever. And God has given new promises. You gotta just flinch your shoulder and don't just say, ah, you know, one day it'll come. I receive it. I shoot an arrow. Lord, I receive it. Amen. By faith. And you pray. You declare it. Amen. Healing is a promise. You convert that promise into reality. Lord, I thank you for your healing. Lord, I thank you for your blessing. Lord, I thank you that your will and your plans and purposes for my life will prosper. I believe it. I receive it. You shoot an arrow. Work your shoulder muscle. Amen. We need to have a strong shoulder, Christians. Yeah? Convert these promises. Begin to walk in the promises of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, in Australia, we need to rebuild family altars. I think it was the Saturday night with the conference on Pastor Subi. I very strongly, the Lord laid on my heart. You could say, you know, the Lord, I've heard the Lord. Why does Australian Christians, he wasn't saying harshly, but very gently, just think that you have to accept when your children go astray, we just take it and accept it as if this is our fate. We should build an altar and pray. That's not, we shouldn't just accept it, but go before God and pray and claim them all back. Bring them back. Now, how do we build family altars? We come together. You know, for my family, it's a Monday. You share the word and you pray together and you let everybody share, even the little ones to participate. Now, there are cases when children have grown up too much and they refuse to partake of the altar anymore. It's too late. No. Husband and wife should agree and build an altar. Whoever agrees in the family, build a family altar and pray together. And have a consistent prayer theme. Lord, I want this person to be in fire with you again, or healing. Whatever you need as a family, in the altar, around the altar, your needs are shared, your struggles are shared in there. Your inner struggles, what you're up against are shared, and you share it. You pray together, and you know, oh, my family is for me. You gel together. Now, of course, you can't make share everything all at once, but you build that trust, safe environment around the altar, and you hear God together. You see miracle together as a family. That sounds like a great idea? Amen. Amen? Now, yeah? Because it's very important. When you husband and wife agreeing together is very important. Now, if you're single parents can just do it on their own. But husband and wife agreeing together, set the time, and just pray, Lord, I come before you. I bring this request before you. I know you're hearing me. Answer our prayer. Lord, let your invisible mighty hand move. See the miracle. You know, the Western concept is always like, you know, some very high-powered preacher come and you're trying to get into their altar and just receive in one zap. And that's good. You receive a lot through that. But God also wants every family to have a strong altar of communication before God, where we have a prayer needs, agendas. You know, you pray with one another, you receive answers, strike it off the list, and you have testimonies as a family. How many, is that a good idea? Good idea, yeah. It's not too late. Hallelujah. And then whenever we need prayer, we bring children's problem, youth problem in the altar. Hallelujah. You know, that Abraham had that altar. That altar was passed on to Isaac. And Isaac understands how this spiritual life works. He understands sacrifice. He builds an altar. And Isaac's life, he doesn't really depart from the Lord much. Jacob was a different man. He was like a wild man on the inside, very mild outside, but very wild inside. He goes through a lot of trouble, but he never departs from the Lord. And he builds an altar. He pursues God. Lot was different. Lot had no altar. There's nothing passed on to the children. Spiritual value. Lot was a very rich person. He had lots of livestock that Abraham had to separate from him because God had given him so much physically, but he had nothing to pass on. He went down to Sodom. His soul was vexed because he was saved, so to speak. He knew God. But he knew God, but he didn't know God enough to break free from these sinful influences. So his life is just continual struggle. And what happened? When the Sodom was about to get destroyed, because of Abraham, the Lord remembers Lot, rescues him. But his sons-in-law think this old man is joking. Just can't hear him. And his wife perishes on the way because there is no spiritual sensitivity, no altar, so to speak. The connection with God is not there. Angel said, don't look. And she looks. There's no connection. And the daughters, what happens to the daughters? There is no principle. There are no men on earth. So, you know, you know the story. Father gets drunk and the daughters get pregnant with the father's seed. My goodness. And become Amorites. And what's the other one? Moabites and Amorites. No altar, no principle in home. Anything goes. There's a difference. Spiritual anchor. Let's build a spiritual anchor in your home. Spiritual anchor in your personal life. And let God build a spiritual anchor, a place of God's power, open heaven. Whenever we get together in the church prayer meetings, I want you to hear the voice of God. You know, there are places where you just walk in, somehow you hear the voice of God so clearly. These are the kind of open portals. That's what the house of God is meant to be. Some places you just pray and you have to break through. I remember there was a great revival in, a little bit fuzzy on detail. But in, you know, one of the American cities, I think it was Washington, Spirit of God was so poured out in the Presbyterian Church on the First Street that whoever who came to the First Street and passed by the church or entered into the church ended up being saved because they could feel the presence of God. They would hear the voice of God when they physically near there. That was kind of a story of revivals everywhere, isn't it? In certain places, there is an open heaven because people are crying out to God, seeking God with all their heart, breaking down evil altars of their life, breaking free, and God begins to speak. And it's very little preaching. They just come into the presence of God, gets convicted of sin, need for Jesus, and get saved. Hallelujah. We want to build that kind of altar. You want to build that kind of powerful altar in your life? personal life, your family life. It's okay, just two. If two can agree, that's it. If it is husband and wife, hey, praise God. Got it. Regularly. Do it together. Pray. Have the list of prayers. Because without list, you just go, you get into newspaper. And then be purposeful. Be consistent. Don't give up. Amen? That's what Job did. Job built an altar. Pray for his children regularly. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm going to, I just preached one of the three, but we will just continue. That's okay. But I just want to challenge us. God wants open heaven in your spirit, wherever we are. This is the altar of God. It's where we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice, right? What does Apostle Paul say in Romans 12? Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Where? On the altar. That you may prove, yeah? Prove, well, there are other things there. Prove the will of God. That means you should know the will of God. Will of God becomes clearer in the altar when we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice, when we offer God spiritual worship, acceptable worship. There is acceptable worship, not acceptable worship. Not acceptable worship is, Lord, okay, I praise you. But acceptable worship is your heart is there because of Jesus. Yeah, heart is there. And you're really worshiping God. And from there, he's saying, you walk in the will of God. Three different levels of walk. Good will, acceptable will, and perfect will. In fact, altar of God was the places where God began to direct his patriarchs. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get worship team just up. I think I'm going to just stop here. Can we actually sing the song that Mia was open the eyes of our heart? See. I think the quote see. Yeah. We're going to just sing. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, was it the wrong one?
That's wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was it?
Open my eyes.
Yeah, there's something wrong. That's right.
Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him.
me share. I gotta share this one. This is many, many years ago. Mia knew that she needed a new job. She was working and all that, but she needed to move on. But we had a family altar, so to speak. It wasn't, you know, it was very easy time to get together. That was actually a meal time. Every time we ate, we had certain, you know, prayer. And the list, it got into our list. And we began to pray. And we actually written down exactly the things that we needed. Because she couldn't drive at the time. It needs to be near, you know, the station. Within like 15 minutes of walk. And it was, you know, this kind of pay, this kind of job. And it had a whole lot of conditions there. That not anything that I want, but we waited on God and we felt this is the kind of prayer that God wanted us to pray. So it wasn't like, you know, prayer like all at once, like, you know, 3-day fasting and that's it. You know how sometimes we do that? We get so desperate, we pray really hard for 2 days and after that we get knocked out. We don't want to even pray anymore. But we prayed consistently, Lord, these are the prayer. We just brought it up before God and sometimes just show the Lord. And we just kept at it. Within a few months, I think it's about 2-3 months, phone rang. And I picked up the phone, I said, hello? And Mia felt in her spirit, oh, this is the job from God, this is for me. And then sure enough, it was a headhunter, no job, people who were, you know, looking for people. And he said, is there Mia there? Yes, yes, and I, you know, passed on the phone. And she talked, had an interview, got the job. And guess what? Every item that we put on the list, God answered the prayer, except one, just one. You know, we thought that pay should be like this, but they offered a lot more. It was the only difference. What we found is that when we began to pray, very soon after, the company, the same company was actually far away from the station, but it actually began to move. So it took 3 months to, you know, plan and move the office right next to the station, Winyah Station. You go out, Winyah Station, and then there is an elevator, go up. That's her job. God moved the company. God can move heaven and hell, you know, heaven and earth. But we put God in remembrance and we pray with faith and don't pray like cheetah. You know cheetah? They run so fast, but they got small heart. If they don't catch prey within 100 meter, 200 meter, it gives up. It can't catch it. Don't be like cheetah. Go long distance. Keep pressing in. Believe God. And, you know, get answers to prayers. But it's great when actually husband and wife come together and bring the prayer. Matters with the children, matters with the family, financial issues, all the issues we can bring before God in the altar. All our issues. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about, before we sing and one more time and pray, think about what are the promises that God's given you that God wants you to pray about, build an altar about. What are the promises that God wants you to begin to bring it before Him that He's given you? Think about it. What are the needs that you need to bring before God? And be consistent. Amen? We're going to sing one more time and let me just pray a prayer of blessing. Yeah.
Open.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's just lift up our hands before the Lord. Let's just cry out to God. Lord, oh God, we are your people. Lord, we are the people who call upon your name. Father God, we are the people that bring down your heaven down on earth, oh God. Lord, you've given us your mouth, oh God, so that we can cry out to you, call upon your name. You've given us these hands, oh God, this life, so wherever we go, Lord, that your rule, your authority, your power, and your claim can be established on this land and in our family, Lord. Father, we thank you that Abraham's blessing through Christ has come upon us, oh God. All the blessings in the Word of God are yes and amen to the glory of God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you will activate these altars, oh God, within our heart, in the family, Lord, where you're calling individual people to set up the altar in the family. Lord, I pray you will strengthen, encourage their faith, oh God. Guide us, oh God, that, Lord, wherever we go, there will be a landmark of your possession. Lord, that we own this land. We will, Lord God, be the head and not the tail. We rule and not follow, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your channel of blessing flow through us, oh God. Father God, you know every person's needs, oh God. Father, we pray, oh God, that we will know how to cry out to you and receive divine answer, unmistakable answer from heaven. Lord God, who answers our prayer by fire. Lord, he is our God. Lord, the one who answers by fire. Lord, you are our God. Lord, we thank you. You are the one who answers by fire, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put a hedge, oh God, of fire around the family. In the name of Jesus Christ, our children, oh God, our loved ones, oh God, who are now walking with you. Father, let every chain be broken in the name of Jesus. Let them come, oh God, to the presence of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that your altars, oh God, will be a central place in our heart. Lord, that we'll hear your voice, oh God, through these personal altars, oh God. Lord, from family altars, oh God, from the church altars, oh God, we will hear your voice, oh God. The voice, oh God, of heaven, oh God, will come out, Lord God, and direct us, guide us, oh God. Lord Jesus, we are, even though we are passing through this land, Lord, Lord, we possess the gates of the enemy. We possess the gates of the enemy. We possess the gates of enemy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we dedicate our business to you. We dedicate our business to you. Anyone who has a business, let's dedicate it. Dedicate it before God. Lord, Lord God, we dedicate our business to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, let your fire fall in the name of Jesus. Let it be a place of your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, let it be a great blessing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be a place of great providence, oh God, for the families and people. And Lord God, Lord, all, Lord God, businesses, oh God, build your houses in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let our houses, oh God, be filled with your presence. Be filled with your voice, oh God. And Lord, in our lives, your promise, oh God, will turn into reality. Your promise will turn into reality. In the name of Jesus, sickness, oh God, will turn into healing. Hallelujah. Lack will turn into provision. In the name of Jesus, as we call upon your name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great hand. Shout a victory. Shout a victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 May the Lord establish you in this land. Amen. May the Lord give you this land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord prosper you. Bless you. Make your name great for his name's sake. Hallelujah. May your children possess the gates of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May the anointing of God rest on you. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, Lord, let your presence, oh God, rest upon us, oh God. Oh Lord, we desire your presence, oh God. Lord, let your presence, oh God, be your portion of your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. coffee and tea are at the back, and just, you know, hang around for some fellowship. If you need prayer, you know, we'll pray for you. Daryl and Aaron will also pray for you. They just come back from ministry trip, so they're very hot right now. yeah, if you need prayer, just come. Otherwise, I'll talk to you after the time of prayer in the morning tea.